This morning, I want to do something a little different. As if you've been with us throughout the summer, you know that I have been inviting us to sort of mix things up a little bit, and we had sort of a wonderful bit of a serendipitous opportunity in the form of our friend Nick O. Nick is, he grew up in the Onuri Church, and his parents are really active in that congregation still. And he is home on furlough, taking a respite from his work with YWAM, Youth with a Mission, and he is a team leader in Istanbul. And I had the opportunity with Glenn Inn to have lunch with Nick and to hear about what is happening through YWAM in Istanbul, the role that social media is playing and technology is playing in starting conversations that are planting seeds for the gospel. And I thought it would be fun if you had the opportunity to hear a little bit about Nick's story. And as he and I were talking, we were reflecting on what the things that are happening in Istanbul actually remind him a lot of the things that are happening here at West Valley. And so I'm going to invite him to come up, and we're going to have a conversation together, and you'll get to be a part of that. Before we do, though, Nick asked that we would watch a video, and this video sort of captures some of the images, sights, and sounds of Turkey. And and then once we've seen it, I'm going to invite Nick up, and he's going to kind of explain to us why he thinks it's important for us here in the United States to see and understand and see Turkey from his perspective. So thanks.
This is the voice of an imperial past. The sound of horses and the strong walk of men. Do you feel me? This is your cultural thrill. The smell of a powerful land.
Thank you.
Friends, would you please welcome Nick O. Thanks so much for being with us, Nick, and for sharing your story with us. I guess the first question that I think everybody would want to know a little bit about is sort of why this video? What about this did you want us to see and understand?
Yeah. Is this on?
Oh, it is. Very on.
I think... For me, I never knew anything about Turkey. It's like it's next to Hungary, so it's kind of like a weird joke, like Turkey, it's Hungary kind of thing. So I think having something visual to see and just knowing a place is actually quite beautiful, I think is really important. And I think especially our culture is very different from theirs. I think seeing people's faces, seeing some of their everyday lives, it becomes a little bit more relatable to see a culture in a different kind of lens. So I think showing the video is really helpful for people who don't know much about Turkey, and for me, I didn't know anything about Turkey before I got there, so I thought it'd be really helpful.
Great, thank you for that. It's incredibly well produced. Is this something that YWAM produced, or is this just another?
This is just another filmmaker
that you caught along. Yeah, it's awesome. So, how is it that you found yourself saying yes to YWAM, and then next thing you know, you find yourself serving as a team leader in Turkey?
Can you give us a short version
of that?
Yeah, I think. A big thing for me is just being a child of, like, immigrant parents. I think a lot of my parents sacrificed a ton of things for me to have a life in America. They came here not knowing the language, a bunch of different things. And I kind of followed that path pretty well. Like, went to San Jose State University. I got a job secured even before I graduated. Did really well at my job. But I really felt like there's something more that my life had to kind of produce with that. Just being Korean, there's a big heritage of missions in Korea. I think still to this day, the number of percentages of Christians getting sent out as missionaries, I think Korea is still the highest. But with that as well, I think it was a huge sacrifice for my parents because they're like, well, we've provided and sacrificed all this, and now you're going to move to a foreign land to do missions. So it was a real struggle at first. Now they're really supportive. And then for me, going to Turkey, it's a little bit different. I didn't really get called to like a nation. I didn't have any feelings toward it. I just simply felt like one of my friends wanted to go, and I really felt like I heard from the Lord to go to Turkey. Now being there, a lot of things have changed in a great way. My heart has grown to love the nation as a whole. And just a simple fact, Turkey has huge Christian pedigree. It probably has the biggest outside of Israel. If you look at the book of Revelations, all the seven churches mentioned are in present-day Turkey. Anytime you read the Bible, it talks about Asia Minor, that's present-day Turkey. And then even some of the bigger cities where, like in Antioch, where Paul rested from his missionary journey, they still use that same name. It's like Antakya in Turkey. But the narrative now, or the story is now, is that actually, even with this huge Christian pedigree and everything else, Turkey is actually the least reached nation in the entire world. Population-wise, they have over 80 million. There's only like 3,000 to 7,000 Christians. So with that, I think even the bulletin, I really believe God is saying that those Book of Acts seasons was not the pinnacle for a nation, but really the floor. And he's just really looking for people that would really believe that. And that's the main reason why I'm in Turkey now, is really believing that there's so much more that God has in store for a nation.
When we were talking at lunch, you were reflecting on the way in which... this idea that our very limited perspective says, well, all we see is what's happening right now. And I think you're absolutely right, Nick, that a lot of us, what little we know about Turkey would be that it sort of holds this tension between Europe and the Middle East. It is, we know that it's a Muslim nation, but it's a secular Muslim nation. And right. So it sets itself apart from other other Islamic states. It has a very Western influence to it, and yet there is a strong nationalistic energy that has been growing in Turkey as well as a lot of countries around the world right now. Nationalism really is growing, that sense of we're going to reclaim our identity to the exclusion of others.
Yeah.
As you experience those sorts of things, where do you see God at work?
Yeah, I think in a lot of those different areas, I think Turkey is a very unique place because it's the only secular republic, a Muslim nation. With that, there's some cultural innuendos you got to be really mindful of. So one example is they have a saying, to be a Turk is to be Muslim. So, and with that, it's a secular republic, but a lot of things, certain freedoms are slowly kind of getting taken away. Example is that you can't share the gospel with anyone under the age of 18. With that, there's a lot of things tied into it, but an example is some people's mindsets are already kind of changed, you know? Like you can't really change their mind if they have a certain rhetoric that they've been learning for a long time. The biggest thing I realized as well, though, is Turkey in the early 2000s, economy was doing really, really well. Now it's kind of taken a huge hit, and there's a huge dissatisfaction of young people, in particular young educated people, saying the certain things or belief systems that we have is not really filling these gaps or our needs. So I think there is a hunger rising in Turkey for deeper desires and deeper questions of how does, there has to be more than this. The things that we've learned, the things that we've been taught, it's not really working out. It's not really saying what you said. I think there's a deep hunger to see what other things are out there. Yeah.
When we were talking, I asked you to sort of what scripture text kind of are you drawn to as you reflect sort of where's the intersection of your life and your commitments and what's important to you and how that finds its expression in service as a team member, as a missionary. And I was kind of surprised, I guess I shouldn't have been, but I was surprised that you chose John chapter 1. And so would you be willing to share that text with us again? We've all heard it a lot of times, but I want to hear you kind of read it for us and then say, here's what I noticed out of this text and how that's speaking to me. And
I think when you look at John 1, it's like 1 through 18, it's the big reference. It's kind of, in the very beginning, it goes back to Genesis. It talks about the beginning was the Word and the Word was with God. But if you look at it, it's the setup for the biggest missions plan to save the world. It talks about the Word that was perfect, which is God, coming back, and Him full of grace and truth gave light to man. And with that, He said, for people, and He came to share to everyone, but everyone didn't really receive Him. But for those who are called to receive Him, they're called children of God. So it's like this big missions mandate for us. And when I look at it and reflect back about it, the bigger question I always kind of have is that in that text is, Jesus knew He was coming, and He knew some would not be saved. What was that tension like, really? What was that heart like, really? And I really wonder if, like, the Lord, I know He tried everything to reach people, but that certain people just didn't get it. They just didn't want Him. And yet He still went. And that's kind of the tension that I live in. I think as a younger guy, I have so much zeal of, like, oh, I'm going to see so many people get saved, or I will be the Billy Graham of Turkey or something like that. But then the reality of this tension exists for those who say yes, that we get to join our family that is super inclusive, but at the same time is exclusive because we have to say that Jesus is God. And I really ask the Lord, what do you feel? It's like, it's worth it every time. It's worth the pain. It's worth the suffering. And I think in the midst of things that are changing, that are always kind of difficult, or things are in transition, it's hard, but at the end, it is worth it. So for me personally, I have to know a new culture, know a new language, feel very stupid at times for not sounding like a baby speaking a language. But that process of pain is worth it for the transition at the end. It's worth it. And you see it in Scripture, right? Like, it is worth it for us, right? And there's nothing that God did, but it was grace upon grace that we have given this. And so for me, it's like I really have to tap into that grace, because I cannot change myself. I cannot do all these things in the midst of that huge transition. but it is really the Lord being intimate with them, having that grace upon grace to do some of the works I want to do in that nation.
Let's read the. Would you like to read it, or would you like me to read it? I want people to hear this.
Maybe you can read it, and then, can I have this water?
Oh, you,
that's okay. My mouth is getting tired.
You were very
maybe you can read
water.
While I drink the water.
All right.
If that's okay.
You referenced the text, and you referenced like two or three ideas, and I want to make sure we all hear it together. John chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and through the world was made through. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him, and he cried out, saying, 'This is the one I spoke about when I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' Out of his fullness, we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." So there we had that. You were referencing the sense of grace upon grace being made evident. And I wonder part of your time of furlough is in a sense the sort of hold, isn't it? And reflect on how God's grace upon grace has shown up in your life in the time that you've been there, and how you're going to, the way you're going to need grace when you return. What's that look like for you right now?
Yeah, I think right now it's. At least for me, I don't really have a huge time of reflection, especially I haven't been back in the States for probably 2.5 years. So just to get some time to reflect and just really seeing God in the season as a whole versus like in periods of hardship. Mm. So the times when you're language learning or you're learning something new, you just feel stupid the whole time. And then you just feel like you're like, I have tons of stories of language fails, of saying the wrong thing and trying to like peel it back. But then seeing that kind of slow progress of change makes a huge impact. And I really think it is really the grace of the Lord. There's a lot of testimonies or stories I could share. But I think just having that reflection and meditation to do that. And for me, the biggest thing that's been a real heart change for me is just every day just praying something of gratitude toward the Lord, I think really changes perspective of, in the midst of amazing stuff happening, I think there are really difficult times, really. It's not, everything is not good and everything is not perfect. And me, I'm just a normal person. But I think having a heart of gratitude really does give a heavenly perspective of what the situation is really like versus maybe dramatizing a little bit more. So for me, that grace upon grace is really meditating on the goodness of God, and that's kind of what helps you pull forward in a lot of things.
When we were talking at lunch, you were sort of making connections between what you saw in Turkey, that is, the sense in which for many people, one of the things you mentioned when I asked you about the video, you said, notice those Christian churches.
Yeah.
Even though the Christian community in Turkey is a very minority group, the historic heritage of Turkey is pretty great. And your reflection was sort of around how that a lot of people would assume that the effect, the influence of Christianity and the movement of Christ in that nation is something that is past tense, and that what and that the height of that happened 2,000 years ago, and that's the end of it. And you both saw that you have a different perspective about that.
Yeah.
And then we were talking a little bit about how you that sort of reminded you of what the Church of the United States and what West Valley Presbyterian is going through specifically. So would you share that with us?
Yeah, I think. I think truth is always like a big component of everything that we really believe. And then even the scripture says that he is truth and full of grace, I think is really key. And there's always these crazy statistics, especially if I look at early Western church movement in Europe. It talks about being postmodern. It talks about Christianity is dipping. And I think the reality is that there's so many big movements happening in Europe people aren't really talking about, especially with university campuses all around in the Czech Republic, in London, and in Germany. There is a big renaissance of Christianity happening because I think there is deep wells to that. With that, I want to look at West Valley Church. I think just the pedigree and heritage, even walking in here, there is a presence of God, this place creating a resting place for the Lord for a long season. And I think it's a beautiful chapel, too, with a lot of the stained glass and everything else. And many people being faithful as well. But with that, I think Lord moves in seasons in different directions many times. You see it as a narrative all throughout Scripture. That timing and the ability to move is really important. And the thing that's really difficult is not knowing the Lord and having that ability to move. And I think for a lot of times in Europe in a bunch of different places, like, it became more about a form and a structure, but not knowing God. And in a relationship, that made it difficult to move. So for me, I think in America and Europe, there's a lot of these structures in place with traditions and everything else. And I think when I look at Scripture, God clearly warns a lot of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, like, you search the Scriptures day and night to find life, and you miss it. I'm right in front of you. So I think I think what God is saying is directing a lot of people in the Western church to really examine and have a relationship with God again, and that would be the core driver and foundation of what is the next step.
Mm-hmm.
And I think with that, it becomes so much easier because there is grace in knowing him. There's grace and abundance of love in knowing him. So when I look at West Valley Church, there's this amazing pedigree, amazing heritage of loving the Lord. And I think he's echoing back people to find that first love. It's so funny. In Revelations, they have that same letter. It's like, you've done so many great works. You've done so many things. You've been faithful. But the biggest warning he has is, please get rooted back in that first love. And it's a message, I think, that's God has been echoing for thousands of years. It's a big warning for all of us.
Mm.
So I think it's not just West Valley Church. I think it's churches or countries that have a huge Christian pedigree he's echoing people back to again.
I just want to sit on that for a second.
Yeah.
I think that's the call back to first love is. I just feel a sort of surge move through me as I hear that. Part of what I was reflecting on as you were sharing is that you were saying that your language learning, you feel stupid. that feeling of, I feel like I'm a child, I feel stupid.
Yeah.
And to me, that sort of connects to that first, returning to one's first love, that there is a returning and a starting over, a beginning again, becoming a learner again.
Yeah.
And I think that that's probably, that requires a humility that I think is really critical for any mission effort in the world today. And I want to say any church that's really committed to being, beginning again, to, I want to be a part of what God's doing in the world. And the hardest work for us, I think, is accepting that we're going to have to start over, that we're going to have to unlearn a lot of things in order to learn new things. And that's going to, and in doing so, we're going to feel stupid. We're going to feel like, I knew this, and to have to begin that, or what some people sometimes talk about as a beginner's mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. To say, okay, I'm going to be teachable again. I'm going to be open again. And that feels really significant as a part of returning to our first love.
Mm.
to sort of say, all the things I think I know about God, all the things we've learned in Sunday school about God, all the content, all the information,
right.
to sort of say, now I'm going to hold all that much more loosely in order to rediscover and experience God's presence, to experience God's movement.
Yeah.
I imagine that you, you're a team leader in Turkey. That means you're receiving people who are just a little bit younger than you.
Yeah.
Who are coming wide-eyed, fresh-faced, totally enthusiastic, who've just come out of a training experience.
Yeah.
And now they're getting dropped into this. What's it like to care for and to shepherd people who come with that enthusiasm and then come to a really very, very different place and a lot of unknowns?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me is you never want to, like, for a young person, you never want to quench the zeal in their heart. Because I think sometimes, for me at least, I'm not, like, that much older. I'm, like, 32. But I'm getting people who are, like, 20 years old. It's like I've done university. I've worked a corporate job. I've led a whole bunch of different teams, and this 20-year-old comes and has never done anything with their life, and they have full of zeal. But sometimes for me, the harder thing is to make or say answers based on my experience rather than asking the Lord what's best for them. And I realize that's really hard because my experience doesn't take time. I know it because I know it. But taking time praying with the Lord to see individually what's best for them has been a really big struggle because with that, I just have, or I feel like I have certain wisdom and knowledge, but I never want to end up being the old guy who kills young people's dreams, you know? And for me, just because of my laziness of not praying for the Lord, for this person, and just taking my experience, it becomes really hard. It is a struggle. That's why when we look at scripture in Moses, he talks about how he got water for the Israelites, right? One time he just taps it. The next time he asked, the Lord asked him to speak to the rock to get water. But instead of doing what the Lord asks, he uses the experience to make that decision. And because of that, Moses never entered the promised land. And it's for me, it's like, oh, it's a good reminder of like, oh, I want to... It's more about really knowing the Lord is really key. And then I think, especially when young people see that I know the Lord, and then I'm like burning to see a nation, burning to see to be with God, and I have intimacy with Him, it will light other people to burn for God as well. So that's my biggest thing as a team leader in helping people transition. There's no teaching or word I could give. Is my intimacy with the Lord affects other people, and that will help them burn for the Lord.
That's a really beautiful image of discipleship. It's a lot less about moving content, and it's a lot more about just walking with them.
Yeah.
And honoring the thing that God's doing in them instead of trying to make them fit into whatever agenda.
Yeah.
That's a wonderful expression. As we finish up, I want to thank you for giving us some time and just getting our minds and our hearts open. What's the thought that you would want West Valley to take? You know, you've been home, you've been
yeah.
sitting in on our worship services for the last few weeks. You have a sense
yeah.
of what's been, you know, the journey that West Valley has taken to
yeah.
to partner with Onuri some, and
yeah.
and you've got all sorts of different perspectives. Just kind of, what's the word you'd want us to have this morning?
Yeah, I think praying for you guys this week, because I know Pastor Morgan, she said I was going to come, and the biggest kind of word that I got is just hearing God together. And I think it sounds so basic, but it's so hard. For me, even myself, I struggle with it, right? Because I feel like I'm a capable young man. I feel like I'm smart. I feel like, oh, if I make this decision, the Lord will truly be in that decision. But I think reality is like, you know, my ways are different than your ways. My ways are higher than your ways. So please seek my face to figure out what is the best thing. And that's always kind of been a centering point in my life from my own personal experience. And I think with you guys having a transition that's coming, my biggest recommendation is God's ways are higher than our ways. People's plans might look really different, but I think if God is in those plans, I think He'll really bless West Valley Church. So, yeah, that would be the kind of word that I would give. And it's so freaking hard. That's all in God's ways. It's like it's simple, but it's so difficult to execute. But yeah, I think being encouraged, knowing that you guys are, I see it, like people are genuinely pursuing the Lord here, genuinely bringing their own history before the Lord and holding it with loose hands. And I really do believe people want to see God move versus their own agenda. So I'm praying for you guys. I think big shifts and blessing are coming when you, because you guys are doing that. Yeah.
Thanks.
Would you be willing to say a prayer for us that we would be able to hear God together?
Yeah.
Thanks, Nick.
Yeah. God, I pray for West Valley Church. I pray that you would bless them. Bless them because there's so many things that are on people's hearts that they're carrying and they have vision for, Lord. With that, I pray that you would align people's hearts, that there'd be a reset or a plumb line that's coming, Lord. And with that, I know it's scary. I know it's difficult. But with that, I know if we're in step with you, there is fullness of joy. There is grace upon grace, Lord God. And there's truth, Lord God, that will bless not just West Valley community, but the community as a whole, Lord God, in this neighborhood. So I pray that you would walk them out in the fullness of what you have for them, Lord. Bless West Valley Church in Jesus' name.
Amen, amen. Friends, Nick's going to be kind of out there on the patio. If you want to hear more about specifically his ministry, what's happening in Istanbul, some of the mission strategies he's employing, or how you can be supportive of his ministry in prayer or financial support, I want you to know that he's around and available, and you can catch him for that. But now I'd like to invite you to give him a warm thank you and to stand for our closing song.
Thanks so much, Nick.
Thank you. Appreciate it.